welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff, and Robin and I are here today, and we're going to talk with Julie Gortzy, who is going to share some thoughts with us about complex diseases. So welcome, Robin. How are you doing today?
Great. It's beautiful here in Colorado.
Very much snow on the ground in Boston, so I'm jealous. And Julie, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hi, Chief. I'm doing fine. Thank you for inviting me here today and also to meet with Robin. Thank you.
So this is Julie Gortzy, and Julie is the founder of Mito New England, and that's short for mitochondrial disease. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And Julie's been dealing herself with complex disease for a long time and has spearheaded an initiative to help people dealing with many complex diseases. So we wanted to chat with her a little bit about her own situation and about the effort that she's heading up. So, Julie, would you mind sharing a little bit about how you got interested in this question and what you're doing about it?
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you had mentioned, yes, I have had some issues on myself with symptoms. I've actually had them for decades without any physicians ever being able to figure out why I had so many issues. Until a few years back, I had just that one more problem that actually raised a flag for one doctor, and then I went through that, you know, that odyssey that these rare patients go through that can take years, actually, before finding a diagnosis. And I actually was diagnosed with mitochondrial disease. I'm also an RN, and so, of course, I was already in the medical field, and I had never heard of mitochondrial disease and never had a patient with mitochondrial disease. And honestly, working as a on the floor of a hospital, you know, I'd get patients with, say, you know, pneumonia or, you know, COPD or, you know, something like that, that they'd come in and, you know, with symptoms, and then we would give them a medication, and then they'd be on their way. They'd get better, and, you know, that would be, you know, that would be it. But once I got sick and I started talking to other people and seeing what they went through, that actually shifted me over to, at first, trying to concentrate on mitochondrial disease because that's what I know, trying to bring families and patients together, because when you get a diagnosis like that, there's no one to talk to. You have no idea what's going on. You know, there's not very much information out there. There are not very many doctors who understand what's going on with the disease. So I wanted to bring families together so that they could find support with each other. Also education, because, you know, the nurse in me, you know, that's what you do as a nurse. A lot of that is teaching patients, because the more patients know, the more that empowers them to be able to find ways to be able to cope with illness. And so I started bringing in some educational opportunities at the time, was just a support group. I was very, very fortunate that I do have some wonderful people that I know, some physicians, an attorney and such, and I was able to bring them in, and they offered educational opportunities for patients. So over the past 3 years, the group has been growing. The thing is, as I talk to more and more patients, I found out, I mean, it's not just in mitochondrial disease that for the complexities. There's also so many other disorders out there where patients and families are suffering. They're not finding the diagnosis. They're walking around with symptoms that nobody can figure out what's going on. There's no treatments for them. So it's really... we've shifted over to try to embrace the complex care community, is what I call it. Some of it's the rare community, but I call it more the complex care because there still are other disorders out there that are not really classified as rare, but they're still very complicated diseases for patients
right.
and families to work through.
Right. Part of the definition of this radio show is working with people with complex conditions. And we define that as if you have more than one medical specialist in your life, then you have a complex disease, because even if it's not, you know, hideous, horrible problems, it's complicated to manage more than one medical specialist, because generally they don't talk to one another. They you get input from Dr. A and you get input from Dr. B, and they're not always in sync. So you get to manage these two very competent, very well-meaning physicians. But if they don't talk to each other, then you get to figure out what's the same and different about their advice.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what happens out there. I mean, these doctors are so busy, especially if you get into some of the very complex patients. You know, these patients take a lot of time, and there aren't that many physicians out there to handle some of the very complex diseases. So they're really overwhelmed with what they're doing. And there's just not enough time for everything, and that's not an excuse. And we do want to find a way to be able to help patients really in a more of a coordinated way, bringing in resources and other parts that can help the complex care patient.
Right. So let's back up, because I'm sort of fascinated with mitochondrial disease, and it seems to me that it's a fairly new disease mm-hmm. on the horizon, right? It's a whole new technology that we really had never been able to see. And so it's new even to many doctors. Is that true?
It actually, yes. The understanding of what mitochondrial disease is about, yes. A lot of doctors don't understand what mitochondrial disease is at all. And that makes it very, very difficult for patients. There's less than 50 mitochondrial disease specialists in the country, or actually in the world. And, you know, there's so many, there's thousands of mitochondrial disease patients. So a lot of these patients are actually, you know, walking around with these symptoms, and their own, you know, physicians aren't figuring out what's going on with them. Their PCPs don't understand what mitochondrial disease is, if they need to go to an emergency room with symptoms, because the symptoms can be overwhelming and not even make sense to the average medical staff. And I can vouch for that, because as a nurse, I never understood. And as I was sick, when I was at my sickest, I didn't understand what was going on with myself, not if it made sense to me. So I can understand the medical staff. But we are trying to spread awareness and, an education as to what mitochondrial disease is really about. It's very difficult, because mitochondrial disease can affect any organ, and it can produce many different symptoms in a patient. What's confusing, too, is these patients can show the same mutation and still show very different symptoms. It's a very overwhelming disease to try to diagnose and treat.
Right. So tell me what this effort is about at Mass General, to come up with a way to help people cut through this diagnostic odyssey, as you said, and get to a real diagnosis of what the real problem is, and hopefully get help a lot faster.
Okay. We are trying to establish a complex care clinic at Mass General. We have a wonderful physician there who treats several different types of diseases, and she recognizes these patients coming in, and they're just so overwhelmed, and, you know, they've been in pain. They've been to so many different doctors without getting any answers, and she really wants to be able to offer a place where patients can go and, you know, attention will be paid to them. to try to, you know, send them and find the right resources. Where should they go with their symptoms? You know, for example, you know, if they have a GI symptom and a doctor doesn't understand what's going on, a lot of times they're just, you know, sent out the door. But maybe through this clinic, there can be another way to get them to a consult to find out what's really going on with the GI symptoms. These patients need to be believed. I mean, they're in pain. They're, you know, they have a lot of problems that might be keeping them from school or keeping them from work. These patients need to be cared for. It isn't right for them to be walking into a doctor's office and because the doctor doesn't understand and they get sent on their way and they still have these problems. So Dr. Kara at Mass General Hospital is really the one who has started this. She would be the director of this clinic. And we would like to bring in a coordinator, which is really, you know, the first person that the patient is going to have that connection with. You have to understand these patients who would be calling there are probably patients who have been walking around for all those years with these symptoms. They need a place to go where they can feel that somebody understands and helps them to make the next step towards a diagnosis and hopefully a treatment. In a lot of these complex diseases, there is not always a treatment available. They still need support. They still need that. They still need to be believed, and they still need, you know, they still need to know the resources available for them. So that's pretty much the idea. Once we get this clinic going, I mean, we can bring in so many other things. I'd put it in the way of, you know, we all know about a cancer clinic. Of course, we all know what cancer is, too, versus some of these other complex diseases. But, you know, the cancer clinic that you go to, you walk in there and they'll have a social worker who's there and understands cancer and understands all the resources available for the cancer patient. Then the lab people might be right there in the unit. We want to be able to do that for complex care patients. They're scattered. There's no continuing of care. As you already said, one doctor doesn't talk to the other doctor. We want this clinic to make those connections, to find a way for these complex care patients to have better qualities of life.
Even in cancer, you know, there's often a complexity. Robin, what's your perspective? Go ahead.
I was just going to ask. I know that some doctors don't even believe in mitochondrial disorders, even now. They think that it's got to be something else, or it's hypochondria, or it's Munchausen syndrome, or something other than a real disorder. And I'm wondering, how do parents and children cope?
Well, I will tell you, it's very frustrating. It's downright scary when you have such debilitating symptoms and doctors, the ones who you are counting on, the ones who you have to depend on to help you to feel better, are telling you that your symptoms are all in your head or it's not real, or, you know, you have conversion disorder. I mean, so these patients are getting diagnosed with conversion disorder rather than, you know, them looking for a diagnosis. And this is a really tough situation, actually. And this goes across the country. It's a big deal in Boston right now. I actually speak with a lot of parents and family members who they take their children out of the state to get their medical care because they're actually afraid to go to some of the Boston hospitals right now. This is a really tough situation that we're working on. We're trying to spread the awareness. This is not just mitochondrial disease, though, where that's happening. It is happening in mitochondrial disease. And yes, a lot of doctors don't understand what mitochondrial disease is about, but it's not just them. There are others. So, you know, PANDAS. I know someone who had a family member with lupus who was accused of having more of emotional problems rather than, until she got diagnosed with the lupus. This happens in a lot of these chronic diseases and complex diseases, and it's very unfortunate. I was speaking with a psychologist not too long ago because I was talking about the same subject anyway. We actually took out the DSM-IV book and we were studying about the conversion disorder, and she got about three quarters of the way through and she's like, you know, if you think about it, it seems like conversion disorder is the default diagnosis. And, you know, and it's in a way it's true. It's that if the doctors don't understand what's going on, then they'll call it conversion disorder rather than recognize that in the medical world, let's face it, there's still a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot of research. There's still a lot of, diagnoses, what am I trying to say here, diseases that haven't been discovered yet. And if you think all through these years, I mean, think epilepsy and what they used to think about epilepsy. Now we know so much more about epilepsy, and we know that's a real thing. Why can't these other patients and, you know, why can't they be going through the same thing, having real symptoms for real reasons? Why should they be overlooked?
Right. And no, I absolutely agree with you. And I've heard stories like this from people with pheochromocytoma. Again, it's a very real symptom, a very real underlying medical issue, but it causes symptoms that can be interpreted to be cardiac or psychological. And if the doctor tells you enough times that there's nothing wrong, it's all just psychological, then you begin to believe that you're somewhat crazy, and maybe you stop looking for an underlying medical cause, and these things can kill you. So we really do, as you say, we need somebody to take these things very seriously and work with the patient to go an extra mile beyond the normal tests to try to determine what is the underlying medical situation.
Yes, and I will tell you, for a lot of these patients, they just need to be supported. They need to be understood. They need to be told that, you know, people are there for them and they understand that their symptoms are real. Now, I mean, we all know that there are psychological illnesses out there too. You know, there are things that need to be considered, and there can be a fine line sometimes between someone who has a real physical illness and someone who has a psychological illness. And the other thing is, you can also have a psychological illness and a physical illness at the same time. So it can get confusing. But if you look at all the complex illnesses, it just seems like so many more people with complex illnesses are getting diagnoses of psychological problems. And that's what doesn't make sense. That's what needs to be changed. You know, there's been too many experiences that I have heard of that from people who weren't believed and did get psychological diagnoses. I also know of some who, you know, patients have actually died because doctors were thinking that they really had a psychological problem, and so they didn't give them any medical treatment for the symptoms, and they died. And that's just it's not proper. There's a lot of a lot of things happening in complex care. But, you know, that's just one issue. I mean, there's also the fact that patients have no access, really, to the medications that they need. The insurance issues out there. So many more insurance companies don't want to pay for certain medications. You know, and that's not right. I mean, I was speaking with a family where the mother had two daughters with a disease and medications for both of them, and something happened. I don't know what the circumstances were with the financial issues for that month, but she wanted us to help her figure out which daughter should get the medications that month because she just didn't have the money for both of them. No parent should be put through something like that. You know, there's so many different issues for patients and families with complex care, and it needs to be addressed.
Robin, you were going to say something.
These problems that people go through can even provoke psychological problems. I mean, having these financial problems, having people not believe you, being told that it's all in your head. You know, it's really easy for people to start wondering, am I imagining this? And surely there's got to be a way around this, and so on.
And one of the jokes in the VHL community is the doctor was right. He told me it was all in my head. It was a brain tumor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And it all depends on the physicians too. There are some really great physicians out there who understand what's going on, and then there are some others who they're not going to listen, and it's really sad. And for the sake of this conversation, I will share too that there was a time when ER docs had actually thought that I had taken recreational drugs because of my symptoms that were being caused by dysautonomia. So I know it happens. I know it's real. And that's why I advocate for people with all of these issues, working within the community, working with the physicians, working with the state officials. I work with NORD. I work with different community members to try to fix these issues in complex care.
Great. So we already know the names of some really caring doctors who will definitely work with patients to do this. And as you say, organizing an office where people can be welcomed in some first tier of effort to determine which of the specialists they need to talk to first. That would be really great. But could you share some about this event that you're sponsoring and the names of the physicians that will be speaking?
Sure, I'd love to, actually. April 30th, Mitre New England is going to be hosting an informational event called Challenges in Care for Complex Disease Patients. I have two physicians who are going to be coming and presenting. They're wonderful people. They are so compassionate with patients. Dr. Mark Corson is going to be one of the speakers, and he's been dealing with complex care in rare patients for a few decades now. He has a lot of experience, and he has a lot of compassion for his patients, no doubt. And then Dr. Mel Cara will be coming. She is another one. She's been working in several different complex diseases. She is the physician at Mass General who would be the director of this complex care clinic as we get it established. And she's actually going to be sharing a bit more at this meeting about the complex care clinic, what her vision is, who it will help, how it will help, and what all of us can do to try to help the complex care community and to help this clinic become initiated. We also are going to be having a talk by Tim Boyd, who is Associate Director of State Policy for the National Organization for Rare Disorders, and he's going to come in and give NORD's perspective of complex care patients and maybe talk a bit about some of the legislative pieces that are going on in Massachusetts for people with rare diseases. So this will be, as I said, April 30th. That's a Saturday. It's going to be noon to 3 p.m., but anyone who wants to come, I'm asking them to be there by 11:45 because we're going to need to talk. We're going to need to stop promptly because we have so many great speakers. We hold these meetings at Cotty's Furniture Store Community Room in South Attleboro, Mass. They have excellent, wonderful, Joyce, you've been there. They have excellent rooms there, PowerPoint presentation and such that they offer free for the community. So we've always been very, very thankful for that. If anyone wants to go, I would appreciate an RSVP because I do need to plan the seating. And if I may, I can give you my email address.
Sure.
And that's Mito New England, MITO New England at gmail.com. We will have Child Watch if anyone wants to come, some simple children activities. And Attleboro Cable Company is supposed to be coming and recording this also, so we'll be able to share that with the Complex Care community once it's done, you know, through YouTube. We can get the word out because we want this to be able, you know, we want to be able to reach more people. There's some people who won't be able to come to the event. Some people can't come to the event, and I think it's important to be able to reach them as well.
Great. So, and we have the agenda for the meeting on the website for this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm-hmm. So, any other questions for Julie?
I'm thinking, suppose someone suspects that they have a rare disease. We've had an encounter with a person who has this, and she was thinking, well, maybe I have amyloidosis, and then they kind of rule out amyloidosis, more or less rule it out. So then she thinks, maybe I have this. She has all these different symptoms, and she's gotten so desperate that she's going to other patients and saying, you know, what should I get tested for? What does this remind you of anything? Because the doctors are just baffled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a typical story that, you know, it can take 5 to 7 years to come up with the correct diagnosis, or sometimes the incorrect diagnosis, and you work on that for a couple of years, and then you say, this isn't working, and then maybe you get the right diagnosis.
Yes, exactly. It does take, according to the Shire Rare Disease Impact Report, it does, through their research, takes 5 to 7 years for a patient to get a correct diagnosis. And then during that time, patients see an average of 8 specialists to get the correct diagnosis. They can also receive an average of 4 incorrect diagnoses before they find their real diagnosis. So you can only imagine the emotional roller coaster that is over that amount of time, getting different diagnoses,
right,
thinking that you have something, and then it's not even what it is. And it's totally,
it's totally
bizarre. But
yeah,
with the complex care issue, the idea is to recognize these patients for what they have and that they have complicated symptoms, period, so that they can have the attention that they need and get resources that they need. And because some patients will never get a correct diagnosis because some diseases have not even been discovered yet.
That's right. That's right. So it's not as if the symptoms haven't existed probably for generations. It's that nobody has described it, identified it well enough to say, aha, this assembly of symptoms needs to be treated in a particular way. And until that description is there, then, as you say, the doctors in the field don't have the time to go to that extent of research themselves. So they rely on somebody else's research. And if it hasn't been described yet, then good luck to you. So, but we do need to have some way. Do you know anybody who's ever gone to the NIH clinic for undiagnosed conditions?
You know, I might know a couple of people, but I just don't remember any details. I know a lot of people who have gone to a lot of places. That's the thing. So I don't know if I know any specifics who have gone to that clinic.
Right. Well, we'd be interested in talking with somebody who has.
Well, I'll keep my ears open for you, because maybe somebody has, and I'll let you know. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm curious what all goes on down there. But I think now that we have more of an insight on genetics, and also that it's cheaper to do the kind of sequencing that will help lead us to a better understanding of how all of our genetic characteristics work together, that's going to be very interesting. So we'll talk more about mitochondrial disease another time. Thanks, Julie, so much for undertaking this effort and trying to help people with complex conditions get the credence that they deserve and the hearing that they deserve and the treatment, hopefully, that will make them well again. Any other final comments, Robin?
I thank you for giving this opportunity.
a pleasure.
I'd like to point out that there's a fantastic book online that Mito has produced called Moving On with Mito for teens and young adults living with mitochondrial disorders. It's sort of like, what next? How do I transition to being an adult and dealing with this on my own?
Yes, you're right. Yeah, I've seen that book, and it's terrific.
Yeah,
what were you
gonna
say, Julie?
It is. And the whole idea of getting to, you know, the teenagers and young adults is a whole different issue, and something I'm actually trying to get more into M&E with, because, you know, you have these teenagers, and, you know, they're not what you'd call the normal teenagers because they're struggling. They have these issues they have to work around, and they have a tougher time when they need to figure out what they need to do to get from the college, and what kind of decisions are they going to make about how are they going to support themselves. You know, there's a lot to that teenage young adult piece, and that book is terrific. Yes.
Great. Well, thanks again, and we'll look forward to hearing more about this clinic. I think it's a very exciting undertaking, and thanks so much for spearheading it. And thank you, Robin, of course, as always, and thanks to everybody for being with us today. We hope you'll be with us again next week, and meanwhile, be well and be a powerful patient. Take care.